Lesson 11, Responding Intuitively. You have learned that listening informs all other skills in coaching. Through listening and asking meaningful questions, coaching sessions progress naturally to valuable conclusions. But coaching is not just about questions, answers, and solutions. It is also a pattern of intuitive responses. The coach responds to the client, who in turn responds to the coach, and then again, the coach responds to the client, and so on to conclusion. For a client to feel heard, they need to be responded to. There are many ways to respond to a client, including through questions, endorsing, relating, challenging, summarizing, and silence. Each response is a conscious reply that often comes intuitively. When you tune into your client, giving them all of your attention, and letting go of the impulse to solve their problems for them, intuitive response becomes available to you. What is intuition? Intuition is a quick and ready insight that comes to us somewhat mysteriously. Unlike rational thought, intuition doesn't formulate from evidence or intellectual deduction. Like rational thoughts, our intuitive thoughts are not always applicable to other people. However, our intuition is our personal truth, and it's worth the risk to listen to those subtle messages and nudges. Coaching intuition comes when you are being fully present, open-minded, and open-hearted. If a thought or idea is accompanied by strong emotions, it is not necessarily intuitive. Intuition originates from your heart or gut, but not your head. Intuition does not come if you are struggling, trying, or striving. That's why learning to become blank will help you become a masterful coach. When you are committed to your intuition, you might feel inspired, slightly warmed, or expansive. Must you coach intuitively? No. It is, however, the most powerful way to coach because it comes straight from being in integrity, connected with your client, and in the moment. You are operating from your observer self with responsibility and without attachment. Intuition doesn't cost anything and it's effortless, whereas trying to figure something out in your mind takes tremendous energy. After you coach, you may notice that sometimes you feel drained, sometimes not. That drained feeling is often the result of performing rather than connecting, intellectualizing rather than intuiting. Intuition is imaginative and sometimes surprising. It's not possible to control it, only to allow it. With intuition, you receive an impression before you know what to think. You might get a flashing image, a word, or a name that doesn't necessarily make sense. Trust it and share it with your client. It may be incredibly useful. If it doesn't hit home, you can let it go while still allowing your intuition to flow. Build your intuition like you build a muscle. Use it consciously and often. You can encourage it by spending some quiet time shifting your awareness from place to place in your body. Intuition building exercise. Shift your awareness right now to the bottom of your feet. Linger there for a moment. Now, shift your awareness to the front of your face. Once you settle into that spot, shift your awareness to your hands. Next, bring your attention to a memory. Immediately shift forward to a vision of the future and back to the present by bringing your focus again to your body. This exercise will teach your mind to be flexible and open. You may find certain circumstances where you use intuition and others where you block it out. Learn to recognize the physical feelings you have when you get a hunch or feel an intuitive impulse. Many people get expansive feelings in their solar plexus or heart. Being still, patient, detached from outcome, and trusting will call forth your intuition. Being busy, impatient, attached to outcome, and fearful will chase intuition away. When you respond intuitively, you encourage your client to develop and use their intuition as well. This teaches your client to trust themselves, to know that their answer, success, and safety is all within them. Respect and trust. As a coach, it is critical that you trust and respect yourself. Even if you make a mistake, say the wrong thing, fumble over a question or response, keep trusting yourself. If you are aware of, but not judgmental toward them, your mistakes will make you a better coach. If you allow them to derail you or lose faith in yourself, it will come across loud and clear to your client. Similarly, trust and respect your client. If you cannot trust and respect your client, you have no business coaching them. The coach-client relationship is co-creative. If you feel you could live your client's life better than they could, then you've become judgmental and are not able to hold space for your client to grow. When responding to clients, using either questions or statements, use words that convey respect. Honor your client's intelligence. Allow them to disagree with you and come back with what is true for them. When you make statements, especially those informed by your intuition, begin with phrases that let the client know you're not attached to being right. I imagine that. It seems like. I have the sense that. I'm wondering if. Don't hold back. It's common for new coaches to think that they should hold back their perspectives, ideas, and opinions. Don't. Your mind will seize on the held back thought and create a separate circuit that breaks the connection between you and your client. It's better to voice what you are thinking. See how it lands. Own that it's your thought and may not apply. Let go of any attachment that it means something to the client. Your client will respond to your honesty and responsibility. However, don't make coaching about you. Draw out your client's wisdom, inspiration, and ideas first whenever possible. Use your own only to catalyze theirs. Endorsing. Endorse your client's concepts and ideas when they are self-supportive, even if they contradict your ideas. When you appreciate your client's intelligence, wisdom, and creativity, anything that shows their growth and integrity, you empower them and reinforce the behavior. One of the roles of a coach is to be an advocate and cheerleader. Do this genuinely. If you are not naturally appreciative in style, develop this skill by appreciating yourself and others out loud. Use the words, "I appreciate you for." Think of the times you've been acknowledged in your life. It goes a long way towards encouraging forward movement.
I realize that whenever I'm especially tired, I get irritable and tend to lose my boundaries.
I appreciate you for noticing that. What action would you like to take now as a result of that observation?
In this example, the coach takes a moment to respond before asking the next question. Reread the lines above without the endorsement. The question appears cold and terse. A big opportunity has been lost by not responding fully to what has been said. Endorsing is especially important in the last step of coaching. Holding up a mirror. Coaches help their clients to see themselves more clearly. In essence, the coach gives the client their sincere experience of their behavior, backed up by evidence. This is done with a neutral tone of voice. You do not have to convince the client. Simply hold up the mirror. This tool can be especially useful if a client is dwelling on something that makes them feel negatively about themselves. Holding up a kind mirror can give them a better self-image and show the client that you won't endorse their self-deprecation.
I think I'm really insecure. The way I handle this situation shows me how I am continually holding myself back because I'm self-conscious.
My experience of you is quite different. I see you as confident and self-sufficient. The way you have been presenting yourself, both at work and in your relationships, shows that you have good boundaries and that you know what you want, and you make it happen for yourself. Let's talk about what happened in this particular situation.
Another way to use this tool is to show a client a picture of how they are being and contrast it with another picture of how they could be that would serve them better. Notice the phrase, "it seems," and how that allows the client to save face.
From what you've described, it seems like you led your son around on a forced march, when you could have walked side by side down the road.
Oh, you're right. I didn't treat him as an equal.
Would it help to own up to that with your son?
Relating. Often, clients have experiences that are similar to something the coach is dealing with now, or has experienced in their recent past. This is part of the law of attraction. Clients come to us in part because of how we are being in the world. If we are developing ourselves in certain ways, we might attract clients who have similar developmental needs. Your ability to relate to your client can be very supportive to them. Briefly, let your client know that you are familiar with their current struggles. I can relate to what you're experiencing. Occasionally, tell a brief and relevant personal story that might be useful to your client. Pick your spots carefully for doing this. While empathy is a wonderful gift, it is effective in coaching only up to a point. Be very careful not to assume that your client's situation is identical to yours. No one experiences the exact same circumstances with the exact same knowledge and challenges. If the session gets focused on what you thought and did in your circumstances, the client's agenda is hijacked. Check in with your integrity and be sure you are still fully present with the client before you share your story or suggest an approach. Challenging. One of the reasons that clients hire a coach is they want to be challenged to do more than they would on their own. While challenging your client is a tool for coaching sessions, it is also a style of coaching. A challenging coach consistently takes a client to their own growing edge, out of their comfort zone, and beyond self-imposed limitations. Decide for yourself whether this style fits you. There are several ways to challenge clients. Make powerful coach requests, action challenges. Increase a goal. Call your client to their highest potential. Hold your client accountable. Here is an example showing all of these.
My business isn't developing as fast as I want it to. I feel discouraged.
What have you done to build your business in the last 6 weeks?
Honestly, not much. I get caught up in all sorts of other things. My kid's soccer, taking the dog to the vet, my wife's new job.
Okay, I appreciate your honesty. Now, what are you going to do to build your business?
I'm going to make 2 calls a week for the next 6 weeks.
It doesn't sound like you want much business. I don't see your actions supporting your goals. Do you still have the same goal to be able to transition out of your job and into your full-time business by the end of the year?
Yes. I guess it's time to really get into a higher gear.
How's this for getting into gear? I request that you make 2 calls a day for the next 8 weeks. Then we'll reevaluate. Are you willing to do that?
Yes. It can be a challenge at first, but I know several people and I can call and I've just been procrastinating.
How about if you report to me each week on your progress? The accountability will help you stay on track. Does that work for you?
Coach requests are always negotiable. If the client doesn't agree to the request, it can be turned down flat or countered. Always frame a request so that the client can negotiate if they want to, rather than giving an order. The goal is not for our clients to please us. It's about getting the client to think bigger than they would have before and take leaps in their progress. Thinking big will produce bigger results. There are certain things that are better not to challenge without the support of another professional. If your client has an issue with trauma, addictions, their health, weight, or legal issues, refer them to an appropriate expert, doctor, therapist, or attorney. Occasionally, you'll have a client that couldn't possibly take more on or achieve more towards their goals. You could challenge this client in different ways. Encourage them to add goals that create better balance or say no to more obligations. Take more time to rest and rejuvenate. Develop better discipline for a self-care program. Summarizing. When a client hears their words and concepts come back to them from their coach, they not only feel heard, they also feel validated. There are several techniques for doing this. Weave their words and phrases into responses. Repeat back exactly what was said. Paraphrase what the client said. Summaries check that you've understood your client. They can be used after the agenda is stated and throughout the session, although don't overdo it or parrot your client. Summaries are also effective when double-checking the answer to a question and when recapping what's happened at the end of a session. Here's an example of weaving in.
I'm really in a conundrum. There's this golden opportunity and I can't get my arms around how to make it work for me.
Exciting! Tell me about this golden opportunity.
Well, I've been offered a job as an independent contractor with a company that makes a wonderful software program for managers. The only thing is, I have some issues with the format. It has a daily affirmation that has a strong religious tone. While I don't have a personal problem with it, I'm afraid the potential clients will be turned off by that.
I can see why this is a conundrum for you. How would you characterize your potential clients?
Some coaches take notes during sessions. A good way to do this is to jot down words and phrases that the client says. This way you can repeat them back in summaries by weaving in important phrases. Only take notes if you can listen at the same time. For some coaches, it's better to forgo the notes and rely on memory. Reframing. A reframe is when the coach offers the client a new perspective by changing the original viewpoint or even specific words into something more empowering and positive. In effect, the reframe asks the client to see the glass half full instead of half empty. In the dialogue below, the coach reframes several times in different ways.
Putting on that event was an exercise in futility. We don't achieve our goals. I worked to the point of exhaustion, and now all the groundwork is down the toilet because the board has decided to shelve the whole thing.
I know you worked very hard. What useful information came out of it for you personally?
I think twice about stepping up to that kind of a role.
What kind of role was that?
Well, one where I'm taking the whole thing on my shoulders. I learned that real leadership is really about making other leaders.
That's brilliant. That alone is worth the price of the experiment, don't you think? What else did you learn?
I learned that I'm a visionary, and it's best to surround myself with executives and administrators so that I can carry the vision without being bogged down in the details.
Another great observation. It will serve you well in the future. You learned how to be a leader and what kind of skills complement yours. What other benefits did you get from this experience?
Advanced work. Interrupting. Occasionally, a coach might need to interrupt their client while they are talking. If a client is getting caught up in the details of a story, has strayed from their agenda, or appears to be distracted, stop them. Here is what an interruption might sound like. Susan, I'm going to break in here. You seem to be distracted. What's going on? Or, Greg, excuse me. I appreciate what you've told me so far. Let's slow down and go back to some of the main points of your story. The idea is to cut to the chase and use the client's session time for the dynamic conversation rather than the story. Although, if the client says that they want to use their session to share their story, that's a fair agenda, and you can easily serve it by listening. That's the end of Lesson 11. Please see your action challenges.